All right, welcome back in. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and I've renamed the segment. We find out, we scratch what itches with Dan Dockich. I love that. He can scratch that itch better than anybody. Dan, did I hear you did the national show on Sat Radio this past weekend? And like Daryl Royal, you dance with the ones that brung you. You don't forget the little guys like us. Are you doing national radio now?
No. Yeah, they gave me a show 9 to noon on Sirius XM Radio for a little bit during basketball season. Urban was nice enough to come on. He was terrific. Izzo, if we're going to do a show, we're going to do it big. We're going to do it right. We're going to be bold. We're going to be loud. We're going to be strong. And got it this week. Patino's coming on. Not Richard, but Rick Pitino. We're going to talk to him and a host of others. So, yeah, all good. Noon to Channel 84, Sirius XM Radio.
All right, a couple things there real quickly. So you had Urban on post accepting the job?
Yeah, it was his first interview that he did other than the press conference. Yeah, it was nice enough. He started the show. Show runs at 9. He came on at 9. Yeah.
I asked Adam Schefter yesterday on our show. I was very curious on why no details of his contract were out, like years, terms, and all that, because there was so much conjecture about it, like what he would ask for. But Shefty told us that Urban just told the Jags, hey, I don't want those details out there. You get any feeling on how long he's with Jacksonville?
No, I got no idea. I don't get into that with him. The man's made some money, I'll say that, and I guarantee you they're paying him some money. But I literally have no idea. He was good, though. He was talking about, you know, because people are so freaking stupid with him and with everybody, actually. But, how's he going to be when he's not the highest paid guy? Why do you care about that? How's it going to be when he can't run his quarterback? Well, Haskins didn't run. I mean, the stupidity that comes along with something like that. Instead of just saying, hey, let's see how this goes, man. It's going to be interesting.
I was more interested in how many years they would like to, you know, when a coach.
I
was more interested in years because he's got a rebuild on his hands with a lot of money, a lot of draft picks, going to get the top quarterback that he wants. You know, I think Rule got 7 years, and now Campbell got 6 with Detroit. I was just curious to kind of get into the mind of Shad Khan and how long he's going to give him initially to try to get this thing back going.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I guarantee it. I know this, and I think I told you guys this. 2 years ago, he gave me a phone call, and we were talking, and he started talking about how much he liked Khan. I mean, how much he had a conversation about an hour ago or about a year or two ago, and he really liked Khan. I know that. So, you know, I don't know. He seemed like his health is good, seemed like everything's good, and he's ready to go. And he'll have a quarterback, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, he'll have a quarterback.
No doubt. Definitely interesting, man, for sure. Wanted to ask you about this Buckeye basketball team. Last time we saw them, they fell a couple points to Purdue, 67-65. My question for you, Double D, is 35 three-point attempts for this Buckeye basketball squad versus Purdue. Is this who they are, or was that something Purdue was doing to dictate them throwing up that many three balls?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I think that lineup, you know, they don't have I don't think they have – you know, a lot of guys that can go down on the block, Liddell can, and certainly Young can, but I think that's probably too many. Now, Purdue does a really good job and has always done a really good job of guarding their own man and staying in front of you, which lends itself to jump shots. I would bet if you talk to Chris Holtmann that's probably too many. I'd bet that if you talk to Matt Painter, he kind of feels like that's kind of what teams do against him. And you got to give the Ivy kid credit. I mean, my God, he just lifted up. I mean, here's a kid that whoever they played the game before, I think it was Northwestern at home or somebody at home, he was back out on the court, you know, forever. His mother's a coach. So sometimes you just got to give credit. And then I'll tell you something else that was really interesting to me. After he hits the shot, they go up three. Dude doesn't need a timeout. I don't think they had any, or maybe I don't think Chris had any. I don't think Ohio State had any. So, and Purdue knew to foul. Like Wheeler made a really smart play. I know Painter yelled it out, but Wheeler made a really smart play, picking up fouling with under 3 seconds to go. You just don't see that. Like, you see kids, even though it's practice, get up tight or nervous, but Wheeler's a veteran guy. He played and was very good a couple years ago in their Elite Eight game against Virginia. His shot struggled, but his mind is great, and he made a fantastic play. So you know what? That's one of those, as Chris knew, I talked to him before the game, it's one of those deals where he knew it was going to be a rock fight. He knew it was going to be a fist fight. They made the play at the end. They got the win, and frankly, you just got to move on to the next because Purdue's a damn good basketball team.
Yeah, they certainly, and Painter's been there a long time, and I feel like he's very underrated. I'm sure maybe you feel the same way, or maybe he's properly rated. I don't know. I just don't hear his name called out enough, and I just think he gets the best out of his guys. But I know Chris was worried about his team, you know, physically matching up with Purdue and banging with them a little bit, and you're right. At the end, it came down to them making clutch shots and this Ivy kid who took them on. I thought EJ, though, had four fouls, and I don't know if he could really defend the way he wanted to defend Williams in the post and even take on an Ivy drive like that. I think that hurt them a little bit. What did you think of that matchup with EJ against Williams?
I went to the Indiana-Purdue game, and Williams is a man, and Williams is a teammate. Like Williams, to me, probably, you know, Trace Jackson Davis will get more accolades, maybe higher draft choice and all that. But, man, oh, man, I'd take Williams on my team anytime. And I thought Purdue did a pretty good job with him. One of the things that Williams can do is really pass. And, you know, let's be honest. Here's the thing that I think, and this drives me bat blank crazy. Like, if you put Caleb Wesson, who had eligibility left, on this particular team at Ohio State, how great would that be for Caleb Wesson? Like, I know that, guys, you know, you got a little money in your pocket and all that stuff, but, man, would that be fun? But, okay, he's not there. Mm-hmm. All right, so you've got to guard him, and you're undersized. But you know what? I tell you this, Kyle Young to me is a man, and E.J. Liddell is a man. Those are two of my favorite players. And you know what? Four fouls, no four fouls. The kid lifted up. He made a shot. They ran a little slip screen. They didn't handle it poorly. Ohio State didn't. Ever since Keith Smart in 1987 lifted up over Syracuse and knocked in a jumper to win a national championship, I'm always like, man, sometimes it just comes down to that. I mean, he misses. Jim Boeheim's the greatest coach ever. He makes. Bobby Knight's the greatest coach ever. You know, he misses. We go to overtime and – but Ivy made. But I thought it was a really tough – it wasn't the greatest aesthetic game, but it is a tough-ass Big Ten game, man. And I walked out of there thinking, you know what, Purdue's damn good. Ohio State's damn good. Let's see where they go from here. And if they can get a couple guys back, maybe Ohio State can get Walker back here at some point, they'll be even better. So, you know, that's some games I walk out and go, man, that's a dog-ass team, right? Like, you know, you're like, that team only plays well at home, or that team only plays well when they're front runners or whatever. Not in that game that I saw the other day, I thought it was just two tough teams playing Big Ten basketball, fighting for a win, and I liked it.
You know, Dan, last time we talked to you, man, had that big-time trade go down in the NBA with Harden and all that stuff. And, you know, we had a local guy that was in the mix as well, coming back to your neck of the woods in Caris LeVert. And I'm from Pickerington, too. I went to North. He went to the Central, the wrong high school. But you said some really nice things about him, and that's widespread around the city. But now, unfortunately, man, there was a story coming out about his health. What do you got on that right now? What are the Pacers' plans with him moving forward?
I talked to Kevin Pritchard. They're going to see what happens. They think he'll be back playing in 6 weeks, assuming everything goes okay. They found it in an extensive, I guess when you get traded, you do a more extensive physical, and they did it, and they found a mass. They'll know what's going to happen with the mass probably by the end of this week, you know, tomorrow, maybe over the weekend. And the plan is, you know, God willing, that he's going to play. I don't know if you know their family, but I got to tell you, man, my son was at Michigan when Caris was there on the team. And Caris was like, you know, people forget he was going to go with John Gross at Ohio University. And then that, you know, John left and went to Illinois. John didn't take him with him. So Beeline I swear to God, they're the best people ever. I mean, they are. Caris was so great. Every time I talked to him, his mother, So you hope and you pray, according to Pritchard, they think within 6 weeks he'll be back playing. I think they got better player than Oladipo personally, and I'm not saying – you know, Vic got hurt, and you know, that's part of it. I mean, you replace a guy that's hurt with a guy that, you know, has dropped 51 in an NBA game and is a fantastic dude. He had a press conference yesterday or 2 days ago, one over the entire city, LeVert did. I just love the kid, man. And, you know, you hope that this mass, what is it, benign, he comes back benign and everything's fine and he can, you know, get it removed and come back and play as quickly as possible. He deserves that.
On with our guy, Dan Dockage, Double D from Indy here on Rothman and Ice. Final one, Dan. Who's going to be the Colts quarterback? Well, I'd be the second guy on the roster because I think they only have one. So you're right. From a depth standpoint, they might need me. But
They have two. They have Jacoby Brissett, who I hope it is, and they have Jacob Eason, who nobody – nobody knows because, let's be honest, you don't have, you know, exhibition games. Mm-hmm. I had an NFL guy tell me today if he had to put money on it, he'd have Brissett. But Brissett's an unrestricted free agent. There's three ways to get it, right? The draft, develop from within, or go get somebody else's personally. I hope it's Matthew Stafford. In fact, well, before you called me, I was doing some research on Stafford. They just signed a coach to a 6-year deal, as you mentioned earlier. Maybe that means they're going to clean house and, you know, and hopefully Stafford ends up here. Every town, right, every NFL town says, oh, we're going to get Deshaun Watson. Let me tell you, if I were the Houston Texans, I wouldn't give Deshaun – first off, I wouldn't trade Deshaun Watson. Second off, there's no way in hell I'd trade Deshaun Watson to anybody in the division. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, I want to play against that guy? No, no chance. So I don't know. You, me –
I'll work for a McDonald's bag of cash. That's fine.
That's not a bad – look, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. A McDonald's bag of cash didn't work at Tennessee. I thought to myself, look, if you're going to be – if I'm going to cheat here in Indiana, like let's say I'm going to give cash, I'm doing it at St. Elmo's. I mean, I'm not – come on. Right. I mean, let's class the cheating up a little bit. What are we doing?
The young kids. The young kids like the Mickey D's, man. You got to feed them what they want. I don't know. They're not ready for the filet yet and the shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. That's true. They're not the white tablecloth guys yet. All right, Double D. You want to leave us with a Double D parlay for the weekend? You liking either one of these games, the NFL?
Interesting. I saw that the line was only 3 with the Packers. I swear to God, betting against Tom Brady is like betting that you're not going to die. But I'm going to take the Packers. I'm a little tired of Aaron Rodgers. I'm a little tired of the fingers of scotch and my life is a wonderful mystery. Shut the hell up. I still think they're pretty good. And that's my Double D lock of the day weekend.
All right, brother. We love you, man. Thanks. The man who gets you in. He's Dan Dockage on Rothman and Ice. Thanks, Dan. Be well.
See you guys. I'll get you in. See you.